In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. According to St. Thomas Aquinas and some of other historical authors, there are four parts or sub-virtues to the virtue of modesty, and we may even say also to the fruit of the Holy Ghost of modesty. And we have already talked about some of them, but there are a few that we still need to discuss. And the first is humility, which refrains and moderates one's desire for one's own excellence. If someone boasts or manifests some pride, we will often observe in a mocking fashion that he is modest. The second virtue under modesty is studiosity. This is the virtue in which one applies himself to study those things which suit his state in life. We all have the obligation to continue educating ourselves in the faith according to our state in life. And by our state in life, we mean if you're, you know, working 80 hours a week, obviously you have less of an obligation than if you're retired. Studiosity governs one's exterior pursuit of knowledge regarding those things which are necessary and ordered towards salvation, or which are necessary to know according to one's state in life. For example, a college student develops virtues according to his state by consistently and habitually applying himself to the areas which he studies. Somebody who works in a business may have to study certain things in order to fill the requirements of his work. Studiosity is opposite to the vice of curiositas, or curiosity, in which one pursues useless and profane knowledge and neglects learning more about God and his holy religion, namely Catholicism. Chapel veils are great for cutting the curiosities of males. In the past, people were instructed not to rubberneck during Mass or while in the church, since it showed a lack of modesty of one's exterior glances, that is, it lacked custody of the eyes. It manifested curiosity, and here we are not talking about looking at the various paintings, statues, or stained glass, or things of this sort, in order to learn about the faith or to become inspired or to lift one's mind and heart to God, but merely looking around at people and things of this sort. When I grew up, we were told to never look behind us. Engaging in gossip is often driven by the vice of curiosity and is therefore contrary to modesty. If a person wants to develop modesty, he must first temper his speech in this regard. Spending hours surfing around on the internet without necessity is part of the vice of curiosity. Buying certain magazines which talk about the lives of others, which serve no purpose to a person's own interior life or things of this sort, is also part of the vice of curiosity. Spending large amounts of time in front of television without any true recreative value is against the virtue of studiosity and also diligence, because in point, in fact, it's a sin of idleness to sit there for many hours a day without any real purpose. The third virtue under modesty is eutropelia. This is the virtue of right recreation, in which our bodily actions and motions are decorous, decent, or suited, or suitable to us, and manifest a striving for all of the virtues. Now, this manifestation or this habit by which we always strive for virtue in each and every instance is called in Latin the virtue of honestia. And sometimes it's translated as honesty, but that's a bit of a mistranslation because honesty in English just means truthful. Whereas the virtue in which we're always looking for what is the virtuous thing to do in each instance is the virtue of honestia. And this applies even to how we recreate and things of this sort. The virtue of eutropelia serves to moderate the delights or the pleasures that we get out of playing or recreating. Eutropelia not only helps to moderate how much recreation or play we do, but the very actions within the recreation itself and the play to make sure that they are subordinated to reason. Children need to learn how to moderate the pleasures of play, and parents need to teach them this. Parents also need right recreation themselves, which should normally be done within the context of the family. In relationship to play, moderation must also include how much. Not too much. We shouldn't recreate too much. Endless playing video games or watching TV are wasting a lot of time on the side of the children and is contrary to eutropelia and lacks modesty. And so parents have to make sure their children don't end up developing a vice in this regard. Whereas if a person doesn't recreate at all, that is if they can't even sit down and relax or something like this, it's the vice of workaholism or activism. The virtue also requires self-control in externals. For example, people who go to concerts or dances and jump around irrationally lack self-control, and this is a lack of being subordinated to reason. In scholastic terminology, it's called a vice. And in point in fact, it's something that needs to be avoided. The virtue of eutropelia governs our external motions so that they're moderated, not just out of control. Lack of self-control can also be seen in such things as professional sports when fights break out, or things of this sort. There is also a lack of sportsmanship, which is another name for eutropelia, when someone loses or even wins, but he doesn't take it in a moderated fashion. For example, when he loses, he broods or gets sore about it. That's a lack of sportsmanship. Or even if he wins, for example, celebrations must be moderated and not manifest a lack of humility. So sometimes you'll see guys go into the end zone and for 5 minutes are doing some type of celebratory dance, which is a lack of moderation. It's a lack of eutropelia in the proper sense. The inability to be a good loser is contrary to the virtue of eutropelia, since it subordinates the proper end of eutropelia, which is to be recreated, to vainglory or pride. That is, the person's pride is hurt, and so they brood. Certain kinds of partying can also violate the virtue of modesty, that is, eutropelia, because it must be done in a due mode. And by due mode, we mean it has to be done in the right way. So, that is, it has to manifest that it's something done by a rational animal. Getting drunk or stoned violates modesty and justice. Rendering the marital debt is not a form of eutropelia. It's not a form of recreation. Watching bad movies is not a form of eutropelia. Watching things which are disordered, such as watching movies or video clips when people are killed, maimed, or things of this sort, are not part of eutropelia. Now here we're not talking about simulated death. For example, if you go to a play and they fake killing the person in order to, you know, to follow the script of the play, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the fact that it's become commonplace for people to watch movies or even things on TV where people are actually shown getting killed or maimed or things of this sort. It's called morbid curiosity, and it's a disorder. People have to accept the fact that many forms of recreation today do not recreate the soul because they are contrary to virtue, and it is virtue which recreates the soul. Then there is the problem of people making their routine exercise into an act of worship. Exercise always is to be exhorted or encouraged for the sake of health, but as a means, not at an end. We get a certain pleasure out of exercising. At least once you get into shape, you'd get a certain pleasure out of it. And so as a result, people getting that pleasure can seek the exercise for the sake of the pleasure rather than for the sake of health. And so sometimes they'll exercise to the point where it harms their health even. And this pursuit of pleasure can become almost like a god to them, where it becomes something which they would rather do on a Sunday morning than come to Mass. Work is not for the sake of recreation, but recreation is for the sake of work. Aristotle makes the observation that potency is for the sake of act, not act for potency. And what he means by that is this, that the reason we recreate or recreate in order to become refreshed is so that we can engage in an activity, that is, an act of virtue, in order to advance in holiness. Now, some people make the observation that, you know, well, we do tell people, you know, we do say that eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, so in heaven it consists in rest, not in activity. That's true in one sense, but it's also not true in another. It's true in the sense that the eternal rest consists in being freed from the troubles and the toils of work in this life. But in the next life, our activities are not burdensome or difficult, so that in point in fact, the rest in the eternal life is freedom from the toils and the difficulties, but once we get to heaven, we engage in the beatific vision, which is an activity of contemplation, and as a result, our recreation of our soul in this life is ultimately for the activities in the next. Therefore, to be modest, we have to develop the virtue of eutropelia, and we also have to develop the virtue of humility. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.